Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
Well, the thin-smoking man in the White House has not disappointed the world again. Again, the thin-smoking man, being the peripatetic traveler that he is, had nothing to say about ISIS. Instead, he talked about the press and how mean they were for reporting on the wholesale slaughter in Paris and in Mali. He told the press not to do that. He said that's how they win, when you report on what they're doing. Now, of course, it's true that France, Russia, even England now is joining in the fight against ISIS, but Obama says there is no ISIS. The thin smoking man says there is no ISIS whatsoever. It's a figment of our imagination, and we shouldn't be intimidated, because we're all protected as well as he is, you see. And so over the weekend, we read that Obama is totally and absolutely not only inept, but clueless on ISIS. Most Americans want war declared on this group of subhumans, but not him. He said we're wrong to even pay them any attention. Meanwhile, even the socialist dunce in Europe, Hollande and Cameron, the incompetent, are supporting each other in their fight against ISIS along with Russia. Everyone seems to know what needs to be done to defend the innocents in this world, all except the thin smoking man from God knows where. And so over the weekend, I found a story that attracted my attention on, of all places, RT, RussianTelevision.com. And it says, Gangs of New York, Sicilian Mafia offers Big Apple protection from psychopathic ISIS. I said, oh, you're kidding me. So I said, this I have to read. So I'll read the story. The son of a New York mob boss has given Islamic State a stark warning, saying if they're planning any attacks in New York, they will have to contend with the Sicilian Mafia. I said, is this real? So I read on. The notorious crime syndicate say they want to do their bit to protect locals. And they name someone. Giovanni Gambino, the son of a key figure in the Gambino mob organization, says the Mafia is in a much better position than the security bodies, such as the FBI or Homeland Security, to give New Yorkers the protection they need. Here's what he said in an interview with NBC News, as cited by Reuters. He said they often act too late or fail to see a complete picture of what's happening due to a lack of human intelligence. You hear this? Gambino, who is trying to carve out a career as a Hollywood screenwriter, says that following the horrendous terror attacks in Paris on November 13th, protection is more important than ever. He said the world is dangerous today, but people living in New York neighborhoods with Sicilian connections should feel safe. We make sure our friends and families are protected from extremists and terrorists, especially the brutal psychopathic organization that calls itself the Islamic State. Gambino Jr., who was brought up in Toretta, a mountainous area overlooking Palermo, the capital of Sicily, says the Islamic State fears the Sicilian Mafia, and this has been one of the main reasons why they have not tried to set up any underground cells in Sicily. The Italian island has not suffered from any terrorist attacks, and Gambino feels that the Mafia can offer protection in New York to help curb the rise of the Islamist terror group and help people see the mob in a new light. Gambino goes on and says, the Mafia has a bad reputation, but much of that's undeserved. As with everything in life, there are good, bad, and ugly parts. The rise of global terrorism gives the Mafia a chance to show its good side. Now, what's interesting about this is that I think he's right, number one. Number two, since we have a clueless, thin, smoking, hostile human being in the White House surrounded by a Girl Scout sorority, we, the Americans, will turn to anybody for protection. Especially when we know we have an idiot running Homeland Security, a former corporate lawyer, Jed Johnson, flooding America with illegals from Syria, doesn't matter where, Jed Johnson. The only one I trust in the entire intelligence apparatus as an American is the head of the FBI, who says that there are 1,000 investigations going on right now against potential Muslim terrorists. I'd like to see the FBI share that file with this gentleman, Mr. Gambino. I'd like to see them share the intel on these 1,000 individuals they're tracking. I kind of doubt they'll do it. Because you know the 1,000 investigations will be reduced to zero in about 30 days. There'll be no investigations. But nevertheless, we're going to talk about that today because this is a subject that I'm quite interested in. I want to remind you that way back when, in the year 2000, I wrote a book called The Savage Nation. And on pages 145 and 146, I wrote this. To fight terrorism, I suggest the FBI go to the worst gangs in America and find the baddest of them and then bring them into the inner sanctum, into the president's cabinet. I'd say, look, boys, here's our situation. We're at war with these terrorists. Tell us how you would stop it. And I wrote, I guarantee you they'd solve it much faster than those frat boys in Washington. My suggestion isn't a new idea. It's been done before during World War II. The government of elitists knew there was a problem on the waterfronts of America. They knew the Germans had Gestapo spies all over the East and the West Coast. They also knew who controlled the waterfront. They did. Back then, they went to Lucky Luciano and cut a deal with the Mafia. The Mafia made sure the Nazis didn't function on the waterfront anymore, period. End of story. If a German spy was found, he'd get a meat hook in his back and end up swimming with the fishes. Call it longshore justice. That was the end of 99% of the Nazis on the waterfront in New York. It's been done before. It must be done again or we're all cooked. Today our leaders hire smart morons from Harvard and Yale to analyze the situation. I say it's time to stop with the frat girls and the sorority girls. There, I gave you the brass tacks. That was what I wrote many years ago. And then there's an article on this. I think I touch on it again in Government Zero. I'm not 100% sure. But we know this. When we have a zero government, the people themselves need to get themselves together to protect themselves from the clueless dunce in the White House. It's that simple. And I found an article on this, how the mob helped the U.S. military in World War II in the Daily Beast, written a while ago. And they give a little more detail on the collaboration between gangsters and naval intelligence during World War II, which the government, by the way, denied for 40 years. And it began after the cruise ship Normandy caught fire and capsized at Pier 88 in Manhattan on the heels of Pearl Harbor. You see, the luxury liner was being retrofitted for U.S. troop deployment when it was bombed in early February 1942, right in New York City. It's a true story. Now, the U.S. Navy suspected Nazi sabotage. Naval officers were rebuffed by the longshoremen on the mob-controlled New York waterfront, men averse to snitching for anybody. And so, for help, the Navy turned to mobster Meyer Lansky, the Jewish gangster. Our government approached Lansky in part because it knew that he had been waging a campaign of intimidation against domestic Nazi sympathizers, mostly members of the German-American Bund. That's a whole separate story. And I'll tell you that one in a minute. And so for Operation Underworld, Lansky recruited his childhood friend Benjamin Bugsy Siegel and Murder Incorporated's Louis Lepke Buchalter. These Jewish killers used guns, knives, and bats to break up Nazi rallies and send a message to Nazi sympathizers. As Maya Riley acknowledged in his notes, we weren't yeshiva boys. There's a famous movie picture of this, a Nazi rally in Madison Square Garden, which is broken into by these guys. They had bats, brass knuckles. They beat the Nazis up and drove the sissies off the stage. Suddenly, the Heil Hitlers were running scared, and the adage, the brown shorts, had a real meaning right then. Then later on, when Nazi saboteurs slithered into the U.S. in the summer of 42 to blow up railways, chemical plants, and Jewish-owned department stores. Did you know any of this? All of you morons from Harvard, mob-controlled union members dropped a dime on the operatives that had checked into Manhattan hotels. Eric writes, we'll never know what the boys did to the Nazi sympathizers. They didn't report that to the FBI. Now, what's interesting about this story is that was a trade-off made on this. You see, the imprisoned Charles Lucky Luciano was, I believe, exiled into Sicily and he couldn't come home. So they made a deal that if Luciano gave his orders to his friends, I think he was in prison or in Sicily, I don't know where he was, and he got rid of the Nazis, they'll let him come back to America. So Luciano provided the Navy with contacts in Sicily to, in addition to that, to assist Allied invasion planners. And in return, Lucky Luciano's 30 to 50 year prison sentence was commuted. That's when we had a government who knew what to do in a time of war. Right now we have a moron who doesn't even know we're in a time of war. The moron thinks it's only time to go to war with the American people who want their borders, language, and culture defended. So there is a precedent for this if it is true. And as a special treat for the Savage Nation prior to Thanksgiving, no one else in radio or television has him, so far as I know. But Mr. Gambino will join us today on the show to talk about what his friends are offering to protect us from the scum in the psychopathic, anti-human ISIS organization. Meanwhile, Obama remains clueless on ISIS while America is demanding that war be declared. The thin smoking man from nowhere doesn't even know what the American people want. He's so clueless, he only knows what Al Sharpton wants and what Loretta Lynch wants. God knows if he even knows what they want. How do you feel about this? I sincerely mean that. Do you feel that it's, oh, I don't know, immoral to work with crime members to save us when you have a government that is out of control, meaning a government of itself, by itself, and for itself? A government that will bring in Syrian refugees against all common sense, let alone to protect us from potential terrorists? As I said to you on Friday, even if one amongst 100 or one amongst 1,000 is toxic, why would you bring any of them in? I said months ago, build them a large, large area in a safe place in Syria. Have it built from the ground up. Give them the hammers and the nails and the saws. Bring in contractors, the greedy contractors, the ones who worked under Bush and Cheney. Let them build this new city for Syrians. And let them live there. Don't bring them here. And then after it settles down in Syria, let them go back and rebuild their own country instead of taking our country down. Now, what is wrong with that idea? How do you feel about this when you have Barack Hussein Obama, who thinks he's John Wayne, but he's closer to John Wayne Gacy? He's taking a real stand. He's saying it's absolutely vital for every country, every leader, to send a signal that the viciousness of a handful of killers does not stop the world from doing vital business. Well, that's easy to say when you're surrounded by 5,000 Secret Service agents. Not easy to say when you're going to a shopping mall this Thanksgiving and you don't know if that headscarf over there has a bomb underneath it, in plain English. That's what the American people think. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to think, Obama. So people are afraid that they're going to be bombed at a shopping mall. And he's telling you, oh, don't worry about a thing. Just go about your business. After all, what the heck? It's your life, not his. As you know, John Wayne was an American icon who embodied the American spirit. What did he show in the movies? Toughness, individuality, manhood, dignity. All things that have been beaten out of American culture by the academics, the vermin in the media, and Katzenberg in Hollywood. The same Hollywood that gave us a John Wayne and supported Americans through wars and the Great Depression, that showed us how great we are as a people, now defines courage and resolve as American men who should be embracing their inner woman and flaunting it for the world to see their weakness. And who's not acting that way? Well, our supposed enemies are not acting that way. Russia's not acting that way. China's not acting that way. They see the threats. In fact, the Chinese used flamethrowers over the weekend to root out some Islamist extremists in a cave. I know it didn't make it to Anderson Cooper or Jake Tapwater. They weren't there to photograph the flamethrowers and run to the press with it. It was a little tougher than waterboarding, giving them a little flame on their headscarves in the caves. But the Chinese know this. If you don't snuff the virus out early, the virus spreads. They know what to do. They know how to protect their people. They know how to judge their enemies and their friends. So here we stand at a point in history when a real John Wayne is needed. When the rest of the world is looking at us, looking for that hero that John Wayne portrayed in the movies. To stand up to the absolute evil that is right in front of everyone's eyes to see. They're looking at us. They're looking at America. To put the fire out and let these animals know that we're not to be messed with. But today's John Wayne, Barack Hussein Obama, will only look into that sunset and lament the carbon footprint that's being created. I'm Michael Savage, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, there's a novel idea. According to RT, Sicilian Mafia offers Big Apple protection from psychopathic ISIS. And we have a guest on who will talk about it, Giovanni Gambino, of all people. And so I ask you, look at the world we're living in under this loser in the White House. America is now rooting for an ex-KGB Russian president and an outlaw hacker group, and now probably going to root for the Sicilian Mafia as well. It makes you think you've fallen into a well. And it's all because of the zero in the White House. The absolute zero in the White House. But the question to you, the people, is how do you feel about this? We know that we have no government. We know that we have basically a mob running the country. What do you call a government that is not responsive to the people, but a gang? How do you define the difference between a government and a gang? Tell me the answer. Well, we know that a gang is only out for itself. Okay, can you tell me that the sorority that runs this country is out for you? Okay, number two, we know that a gang is extremely vicious. Can you tell me that the sorority is not vicious? They haven't come after political opponents in this country in the most vicious manner? So how do you define the difference between a rogue government and a gang? You tell me, because I'm looking for the answer. And because I couldn't find the answer, I spent the year writing Government Zero. And I'll tell you something. I'm not so sure that a gang wouldn't do a better job than Obama's been doing, because he seems to be not only exhibiting the worst, let us say, characteristics of a mere gang, but he's also not even protecting the people. He isn't even offering us protection. That's the point I'm trying to make. Taxes out of control. Borders broken. Language stepped on. Culture broken. Christianity snapped off the crosses. How much worse can it get? That's what the people are saying.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Everybody loves the Italians in America. Everybody loves the culture. So much has been given to this country by the Italian people. And of course, there's a subset that we know about, but we don't pay much attention to. We thought that they didn't exist. But apparently they still exist. And a man who says he's a member of that group has come forward and said they're going to wipe ISIS out off the planet in America. They will not let them attack here. And he will be on this show. But I'm asking you, is that a solution? I mean, we've accepted that Russia's doing the job that the thin man, the thin smoker in the White House won't do. May as well get him a smoking jacket. That'll be the epithet of his presidency. The man in a smoking jacket with a cigarette in his hand. That's all he does is puff, puff, puff the magic dragon. Poll just comes out. 17% of voters think prominent Muslims, including Islamic religious leaders, have stepped up to criticize terror attacks like the one in Paris. Only 17% of Americans think that enough has been said by Muslims. Have you heard any Muslims speaking out? Oh, yeah, here and there. Oh, yeah, here and there. Let me read you something. Denying the global threat. And I want you to pay attention to the word Mali on page 76. Isn't it odd how Michael Savage predicted this in Government Zero? There are Muslim wars around the world right now, including in Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, the Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Syria, Israel, and Yemen. Around the world, wherever you look, there are Muslims at war with their neighbors. Now, some people say that they're not a threat to the United States, so why should we care? They're forgetting quite a bit of history. The Muslims weren't a threat to Italy and Spain when they were still fighting other tribes around Mecca. They weren't a threat to Austria until they laid siege to Vienna and almost broke through to conquer the rest of Europe. Well, the Mongols were nobodies once, too. Do you remember learning about the Mongols in high school history class? They're a pretty good model for the modern variety of Islamic murderers. A very good comparison can be made to the Mongol conquest of the 1300s under Genghis Khan and his successors. Wherever the Mongols went, they either assimilated or massacred the local population. That's exactly what ISIS is doing now. And listen to this eerie statement written by Michael Savage. That's what they will do in France. That's what they will do here. I wrote that before this book, Government Zero, was published. And I am telling you that you have to understand that they are at war. Whether you agree, we're at war doesn't matter. They're at war. France knows they're at war. England knows they're at war. The only one who doesn't is the man in the smoking jacket. I also wrote that the Charlie Hebdo murders in Paris were the advance team. They were like cockroaches sent out in a test case to see how far they could go. They got into that hall of journalism and slaughtered at will. The test went very well indeed. Despite all the braying by the sheeple of Paris, the anti-gun liberals who attack conservatives who would defend them, it looks like the sheeple are just waiting for the slaughter. They're just like the sheeple slaughtered throughout history by the Mongols and other barbarians. And just like in Nazi Germany, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine once again. Oh, I'm sorry, you probably didn't know that the people murdered in the Paris delicatessen were Jews. How could you know? The president, the smoker, described them at the time as just some folks in a deli. Do you remember that insult? As the Jewish blood went spilling in Paris, this thing in the White House said, some folks in the deli were shot in a random act of violence by some zealots. Unbelievable to me. This is what your president did. The president didn't see the perpetrators as Muslims or the victims as Jews. The victims were just folks back then in the Charlie Hebdo days. Obama's word for anyone who doesn't have an identity. When a black man is shot by a police officer, whether justified or not, he is a black man. When a Jew is murdered by an Islamic terrorist specifically because he's Jewish, he's just one of the folks, the nobodies, the people who don't matter. Islam is at war with the rest of the world, including any moderate Muslims who won't bow to the caliphate. ISIS has declared war against the United States, just as the Pasha of Tripoli did when Thomas Jefferson took office. They have captured and killed American citizens, just as the Muslim Barbary pirates did in 1800. Jefferson sent in the Marines, and that war ended in victory for America. And I'll stop right there. No, I won't stop right there. I'll go right there. One last thing. Page 77 of Government Zero, the most important book you could ever own. I wrote this, but we don't have Jefferson in the White House. We have a pedantic academic socialist who was educated in an Islamic madrasa, mentored by a black American communist leader, and married by a black liberation theology preacher who wants God to damn America. He is a president who won't even say the words Islamic or Muslim and pretends he doesn't know who ISIS is. He has a worshipful media that lets him get away with it. This is why we live in dangerous times. Civilization itself is under attack, and we don't have the knowledge, the will, or the leadership to defend it. Instead, we have progressive idiots running the country who would risk letting ISIS continue to rampage unchecked to further their own war against American values. We have a compliant media who supports them, feeding propaganda to a nation of zombies who can't do more than bay like sheep waiting for the slaughter. We need to replace a nation of zombies led by a pedantic academic socialist with a nation of patriots led by a warrior king. It's our only hope. That's all in this book, Government Zero. And I'll keep telling you, it's a book that you have to read. Now, what do you think about this idea of a gang, or a bigger thing than a gang, let's say organized crime in this case, saying they'll get a better job done than DHS? Is it a laughable idea? Is it a dangerous idea? Is it a good idea? How do you feel about that? WABC Stanley, you don't like the idea. Why not?
Well, Mike, the way I look at it is that you're inviting, like, Obama trying to bring the Black Panthers in. Chicago is a disgusting thing where he came from. And what it looks like now is America looks like Chicago. He brought the filth, the slime, the disgusting, everything all across America plus of his thinking. And if you bring that in, then you have Capone. When Capone got killed after World War II, we had to have Kennedy and his brother try to stop the organized crime, and they got killed. And that's a shame because of that.
Well, that's an interesting story, and I think you don't have it right. Let's talk about that. Some would say the Kennedys were a gang. And if you look at the Kennedy father, you know he was a bootlegger, right?
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, let's be clear. It's a good old American tradition. In the first generation, the blood, the money is got blood all over it. By the third generation, the blood is washed off the money. You know that. That's the American way, isn't it?
Well, that's some people.
I mean, in some sense, the big, big money, the big money in some ways. We all know that the Kennedy Sr. was a bootlegger, meaning a gangster, wasn't he? But he was so successful that he created his sons as politicians. That's a fact, isn't it? But you don't have to start with the Kennedys. Let's go back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the hero of the socialist liberals. I'm the only one who seems to be repeating this because I'm a student of history. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, great progressive president. Now, his middle name, Delano, was for his maternal grandfather. Do you know how Delanos, Delanos made their money in the good old American way? They were drug transporters. They ran the sailing ships with opium into China for the British. And that's how he made the fortune, Mr. Delano. And so now, two generations later, he's got a president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So this is not something brand new in American history. We're a nation steeped in guns and blood. The problem is that right now the people are afraid of the government, and we are looking anywhere we can to be protected from these throwbacks. So I don't know that I agree with you 100%. I know there's always danger working with people who are in another world like this. I don't know if that's true. Well, not in this case. And there's another issue that I'm going to ask Mr. Gambino about, which is this. If the FBI has penetrated the mob, so-called, so efficiently, how are they going to not penetrate them when they start looking for ISIS in America? And my fear here is that this corrupt, psychotic government of ours would more quickly arrest a member of an organized crime family who wants to whack an ISIS member. They'd arrest them faster than the ISIS member. How do you like that? That's how sick this government is under the smoker in the smoking jacket. Mr. Effete walks around the world giving his speeches and does nothing except attack the American people. But how do you feel about it? Are there any women out there who have anything to say about this? Vivian, KKOB in Reno, Nevada. Vivian, how do you feel about this?
I'm absolutely for it, and I'll tell you, Sicily helped us fight against Mussolini in World War II, and also against the Germans. Sicily also wanted to become a part of the United States. And I grew up with friends, very dear friends, in the Mafia. My dad wasn't in the Mafia, but he was, you know, close with them. But I'm saying, hey, I'm for this. Get in there, let's get rid of these damn monsters. And that's all I really have to say right there.
Now, hold on. My friend Vivian, you're calling out of Reno. I won't go any further than that. I mean, just say Reno, I get images right. I'm one of the people I prefer Reno over Vegas in some ways. It's a strange little city. Reno's a beautiful city right on the edge of the mountains, but you've lived there all your life, Vivian?
Most of my life, but right now I'm living in Albuquerque. But I'd love to go back to Reno because one thing they watched is the drug dealers. Okay, these are family men that went to church every Sunday. But you got a drug dealer into the neighborhood, they'd warn them. That didn't work. They break the kneecaps. That didn't warn or take care of it. Then you'd find them at the bottom of an abandoned mine shaft.
Vivian, you know, when I grew up in New York City, it was well known, very well known, it's probably still well known, that Mulberry Street, which is the heart of Little Italy, was a place where you could park your car during Christmas shopping if you went for a meal, with all your gifts in the car, and leave the doors unlocked and come back and the gifts wouldn't be stolen, and the glass wouldn't be broken on your car. Because, let us say, the little village, let us say, policed itself, and they did it in a way that the police can't police cities anymore because of the rats in the legal profession and the vermin in the media and the bleeding hearts of the NYU who run around with cameras. I'll tell you what I like to do with the camera boys from NYU, but I won't say it. It's a family show. Have you gotten a copy of Government Zero yet up there in Albuquerque?
Not yet. I
Well, what do you mean, well, not yet? You're a daughter of a famous gangster and you can't afford to buy a book? I'm sending you one for Thanksgiving.
All right, I got it ordered, but...
I'm just kidding. Come on, you got a good sense of humor. We got to keep our sense of humor. After all, this is a... Stay on the line, Vivian. We'll send the copy out to you shortly. Yeah, it's the week we're all supposed to be thinking about family, and we are. I mean, I know I'm getting together with a good percentage of very close family members and a very close friend of mine, and I'll have a Thanksgiving dinner. Actually, the night before, we'll have the real dinner, which is Chinese in San Francisco. We're all food nuts. We can't help it. We'll have three big meals before the Thanksgiving meal, but nevertheless, we'll all get together. I can guarantee you that the number one topic is going to be terrorism and the fact that we have a government that doesn't exist except to attack and intimidate the people themselves. That's the truth. And I'll tell you something else. If Putin ran for the presidency, he'd give Trump a good run for the money in this country. Of course, he isn't going to run. Why is it that America wants a strong man to take over like Trump? Because we have nothing but the opposite everywhere else. It's that simple. We need strength to fight strength. We need toughness to fight toughness. And right now, what do I have to say? Do you think we have that? Is Hillary really the one to save us from ISIS when she says last week? She said it last week. She said Islam has nothing to do with terrorism. Well, you know, it defies logic itself when the organization conducting these most horrible crimes against humanity defines themselves as the Islamic State. Is it called ISIS or BISIS or JISIS or HISIS? Is it the Jewish state? Is it the Buddhist state? Is it the Hindu state? Is it the agnostic state? Is it the Zoroastrian state? Is it the Hindu state? It's not ISIS. It's not BISIS. No, my friends, everyone knows it's the Islamic State, except the thin smoking man in the smoking jacket. On that pleasant note, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. It's an interesting topic, but you know, it's deadly serious. We're all afraid that these animals... I wouldn't even call them animals. An animal doesn't do a thing like this. An animal doesn't put a machine gun into a dance hall and machine gun girls, and as they lay dying, mutilate them with knives for all the world to see. These are not animals. These are subhumans. Subhumans. And our government doesn't have the capacity to deal with them because it's filled with frat boys and sorority girls. That's why all the bombing missions, 2 years of bombing, Obama. Bombing, the most powerful air force in the world. What is he dropping? Canisters of what? Everyone knows that if he wanted ISIS out, they would have been out a year and a half ago. I told you 100 times, when I saw that long line of Toyota trucks after they took Mosul or one of the cities, there wasn't one rocket fired by an American plane. So that told me everything I needed to know. The whole world knows Obama's not fighting them. But let's put that aside for the minute. The issue is not that. We're cheering Putin for doing what everyone wanted Obama to do. Now Britain, now France is even sending in an aircraft carrier. Remember, you used to call them surrender monkeys, freedom fries? Well, they're not surrendering so fast. Don't underestimate the French military. And what the Russian special forces will do, you'll never see. Because they don't have any body cameras. No helmet cams. No helmet cams. 150,000 Russian troops are going into Syria. What do you think they're going in for? To do what Obama said he was going to do and didn't do. So now we have the new issue. Now we have this. Mr. Gambino's going to be on at 30 after the hour, I just found out, from a hidden location. And he's going to talk about this. And it's the most electrifying topic I've ever covered on this show. Is it immoral to do something with illegal means here? Or do you want them to be tried for 25 years and make a mockery of our justice system if they capture them, if they can even capture them? Also, in the next hour, when pasta was spaghetti.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
See how he says Cantare? You've always said it wrong. You thought it was Cantare, but it isn't. Welcome to The Savage Nation. It's like calamari versus galamari. Depends upon which part of New York you're from. Welcome to The Savage Nation, part two. We're talking about an interesting topic. To me, it's the most interesting topic I've heard in radio. I went on the Drudge Report yesterday. I stumbled on the article. I said, well, come on, this can't be real. And I told you what it's about, where Mr. Gambino, the name itself is well known, said that they're going to take care of business and protect New York from ISIS. They're going to seek them out and do what they have to do to keep the people safe. So I've asked you in the first hour, do you think it's a good idea? Is it immoral? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, myself, if I'm cheering Putin, which I'm doing for a long time now, because at least he has the brains and the nerve to take these subhumans out while the man in the smoking jacket fakes it, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we all say go for it? Because we don't want bombs going off while we're shopping on Friday, do we, or for Christmas? You know these subhumans hate Christians. You know these subhumans hate Jews. You know these subhumans want to kill as many men, women, and children with machine guns, knives, nail bombs, you name it. What do you care how they're taken out when your government is not protecting you? Or do you feel your government's doing the job that needs to be done? I mean, really, that's the question. Is Homeland Security, is FBI, whatever, are they really doing enough of a job? You know, yesterday I had a wonderful day alone with the dog. Hung around in San Francisco. It was like the last day of the what we call Indian summer. It was warm, and I walked for miles. I walked up to the Italian district, which I love the most, the North Beach area. Oh, it's just unbelievably beautiful. And I was standing on a street corner watching all the girls watching. I was standing on a corner with my little 10-pound poodle, and an Italian guy comes over and comes out of the Italian Athletic Club right up to me. And he says, Savage, and he recognized the dog, of course, not me, because I'm a radio guy. And we talked. We had a wonderful time kidding. So he says to me, some of his jokes were funny. They were very fast. So he said, you came out of the Italian Athletic Club. He said, yeah, you ever been there? I said, no, I'm not Italian. I'm not invited. So he laughed. So I'm going to make an offer right now that the Italian Athletic Club in San Francisco can't refuse. I'll tell you what, I've never been in there. But if I'm invited into that club and made an honorary lifetime member, I'll give them a free speech. It's that simple. I know that most of the people in there love my politics. I can't imagine that they're Democrat, socialist, liberals. Or maybe they are. I mean, I don't know how they think. So many Italians I meet are liberals, it's hard to believe. Would you believe this? I don't understand it. Well, I do understand it. Because I remember once I complained about the Jewish liberals I've known to an Irishman. And he said to me, he was a tough Irish guy, and he says to me, oh, if you think Jewish liberals are bad, you've never met an Irish liberal. And you know, it turned out he was right. Then I once said the same thing to an Italian friend. He said, if you think Jewish liberals are bad, you never met an Italian liberal. They're right. They're crazy. They're crazy. How could people be liberals when their own religion is attacked by liberals? I don't understand that. Well, anyway, that's the story. So he went on and on, this guy. We talked for 5 minutes on a street corner. It felt like I was back in New York. And my dog just loves to hang out on a corner. He looks at people and this and that, looks at other dogs. You think dogs don't get bored in the house? They get housebound. They go crazy. That's why they sleep so much. People don't understand it. They say, oh, dogs sleep. They sleep because they're bored. If they're sitting at home and there's nothing to do, what are they going to do? They'll land on a bed upside down. You take them out, you see they're not bored. They look at everybody every minute. They're looking here. They're looking there. They see a conversation. They see a car. They hear a backfire. They smell a pizza. They smell a calzone. They're happy when they're looking at people. They're like you. They live a lot longer if they went out more. So the guy says to me, it was very funny. He says, he was a tall, good-looking kind of olive-skinned guy, like movie star type of guy. He says, I thought he was like someone I knew when he came over. You never know. People come over when they're going to be friend or foe. The minute they say Savage, I say friend or foe to them. I don't know if they're going to like me or not. So one word leads to another. He says to me, he married, how did he put it? He's Neapolitan, but he said he married a Sicilian. I forget what he said. He said, I married a Sicilian. Every joke was about Italians versus Sicilians in his family. He says, my God, he said, when the full moon comes out, he says, I'm Italian, my wife's Sicilian, my son is half Italian, half Sicilian. He said, you want to be in our house, he said, when the full moon comes out, when the sparks start to fly. See, here's the point I'm trying to make, is that people have a way with themselves and with other religions and races in this country how to get along, and they have for a long time, until the smoker came along and he started to divide races, because that's all he knows how to do. As a community organizer, he learned that if you can divide people, you can conquer them. So he set us back race-wise 50 years. You talk about races. I remember my good friend Lorenzo, before he died, God rest his soul, he used to own the North Beach restaurant. I don't go in there much, not because I have anything against anyone. I went in there mainly for him, because I used to like the kibitz with them, the way my father did on the Lower East Side of New York, with all different people, Italians, blacks, Irish, whoever came in, they all knew how to talk to each other, and they could even insult each other in a, see, here's the thing, they could sort of insult each other, but they knew they were telling jokes, and no one got mad. That's when America worked. That's when it was a melting pot. But this guy has come along, and he has greased up the works where there's no longer a melting pot. It's a pot of hatred. Which is what he wants. He thrives on hate. So my friend Lorenzo once said to me, you know, of course he was Italian. In fact, he grew up in Italy and the Nazis took over the family farmhouse. He told me stories that I don't even want to repeat on the air because they were too personal about what it was like. So he knew firsthand what it was like to live under real oppression. And he was so conservative, it was unbelievable. And in a liberal city, no less, in where the Italian community in San Francisco, by the way, is super left-wing. Incidentally, you don't know this. So anyway, he says to me, Mike, he says, because he knows I'm not Italian, he says to me, same a corporation, different division. I mean, stuff like that, that made you laugh. Do you understand? He knew how to bridge the gap between people. This is what I grew up with. Right? There's even a Muslim man in North Beach who owns a restaurant, a wonderful restaurant. His name is Mo. So we were once kibitzing, Lorenzo and I, and the Muslim guy who owns a restaurant. He says, Mike, did I tell you the story that we say in the Muslim community? I said, what's that? Mo says to me, when Jews fast, Muslims starve. I mean, it takes a minute to catch that joke, which is very funny. Jews are well known to go to restaurants all the time, right? So even his restaurant, when Jews fast, you get the joke, when Jews fast, Muslims. So anyway, a number of years ago, when I first started in radio as a local host, oh my goodness, it's going back 94, 95, in San Francisco, I was approached by a wonderful lady to speak before, it was the one of the Italian cultural groups. And I, of course, in the early days, I would accept any invitation because I was anxious to build a reputation. Today, I'm a recluse. I hardly go out. And she invited me to the Italian Cultural Center. And I prepared something very special for them that night. And it was called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. We pulled it out of the archives for you right now on the Savage Nation. Jim, please play it. We got the mood set up. It's called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. And try to imagine it, all right? The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then. In neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve, there was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smile scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Play the music, Basta. Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorites, done back in the early 90s. It's still pretty good. The only thing is spaghetti's no longer... I mean, pasta's now no longer $10 a plate. I made an example that it was too expensive at $10 a plate. I went into a spaghetti place last night in San Francisco. I swear to God, all I had was a few scallops on it and a couple of, like, minor little number one shrimps, like little guys. I don't mean the mini like in a can. I don't mean sewer shrimp. But two steps up from a sewer shrimp and some the scallops, which I love, marinara sauce, $34.95. And one drink before dinner, one drink, I swear to God, that's 1 ounce of vodka, $11.95. I mean, it's crazy. And you'll wonder, how do they survive in this country with the prices the way they are? Nevertheless, here we are. We're talking about a very serious topic, and we need a little levity mixed in. Mr. Gambino joins us at 34 minutes after the hour. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Let's cut right to the story we're dealing with, which is, there's no description for Obama other than it takes encyclopedias to describe what he's done to this country and the world. So let's put it that way. He's still downplaying the threat from the most... there's no words for them either. The things they do to people. You forgot already? You forgot already you're busy attacking Republicans and Donald Trump? You forgot what they just did last week in Mali and the week before in Paris? You forgot they took Jordanian pilots who were alive and put them in a cage, doused them with gasoline and set them on fire? That was worse to you. That was not as bad to you as what Donald Trump said to a Black Lives Matter thug sent in there by Al Sharpton. To you, you'd rather crucify Donald Trump than ISIS. You psychos, you left-wing losers. So because of the fanaticism of the American left, we the people are desperate to protect ourselves and our families. Now the trail on the terrorist in Paris, the massacre driver, the one who went to the gay nightclubs. Oh, you didn't read that little story? No, that's a little embarrassment. You didn't catch that over the weekend? Mr. Holiness? Mr. Holiness, they tell everyone else, oh, you're purist. They want purity. You can't wear a mini skirt. You can't do this. You can't do that. Meanwhile, he frequented gay bars. That's all. That didn't come out in the local newspaper because it's an embarrassing fact. Paris massacre driver eludes police in desperate manhunt across Europe. The trail of the world's most wanted man is getting colder after a flurry of raids in Brussels. That's a joke. And an international dragnet. Well, I wouldn't call it an international dragnet. I call it an international drag show, is what we're seeing. Yeah, the police in the whole world, they can't find this one guy. It's a whole drag show they got running there. But now we have the other side of the story. This gentleman who's going to be on the show shortly says that they're going to certainly protect New York because they know where to find them, and they're going to protect the city. Now, the question is it just bravado? Can they really do it? What can they do that the FBI can't do? And we're asking you what you think of it, truthfully. Meanwhile, this you're not going to believe. This came out over the weekend. Okay, intentional misleading on ISIS rise. Top analyst told to, quote, cut it out and stop sending negative intelligence reports about how this country's failing against ISIS. Can you believe this? In other words, the so-called Pentagon cooked the books on the ISIS fight. And they were told by the girls who run the country in an email, cut it out. Cut it out. Don't be sending those things out. Pro-ISIS messages found at Ohio College. Okay? It's terrible. It's a terrible situation. And we're worried about offensive speech on campuses. You hear, offensive speech is what should be our worry now in America. So what do you think about this idea? Joe on WABC in New York, do you like the idea or not like it?
Yeah, Mike, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of deputizing the world in a situation like this. I mean, is it going to elevate them to some sort of new nobility or new aristocracy? Are they mercenaries? Are they above the law? There's a lot of questions that go with this that I would need to have answered before we thought about it.
Well, you're raising very serious questions about a very serious issue, but the mere fact that I, on a national show, am even talking about it, means I take this very seriously because the government has failed us. And when a government fails the people become quite desperate for someone to protect them. Isn't that true, Joe?
That's right, and that's why, as a libertarian, we've been fighting for the Second Amendment, these gun-free zones like New York City, where people should be armed. And I would have rather see John Gambino turn around and say, why won't you arm the citizenry? Why won't you let them carry weapons anymore?
Well, it's not up to John Gambino to arm the citizenry. That's up to the lunatic mayor, the Sandinista-loving mayor of yours.
I know, but I'd rather see John Gambino just say, why don't you just arm the citizenry instead of coming to us?
That's an interesting story, because the average citizen wouldn't know what to do if you gave him a gun. You know that, and I know that. Everyone's a tough guy on the Internet, that if I had been there, I would have done this, I would have done that. I'm for everyone who can use a gun using a gun. Don't get me wrong. But let's not fool ourselves. You have trained drug addicts with machine guns, machine gunning a crowd. I don't care if a guy had a gun in his pocket, he'd probably crap in his pants at the time of an attack like that, or hurt himself with it. You know that, and I know that.
Sure, but also we have to remember, because you hammered on this point so many times, when Obama said it, civilian force stronger than our military. Remember when he said that? Now, just think what you're introducing to the country now. It's basically what we hammered Obama on 7 years ago. What was this civilian force stronger than our own military? What was he talking about? And now all of a sudden we're inviting the idea, which almost is hypocritical.
Boy, you're not saying that the criminals are going to be that force that you're talking about, are you?
I am suggesting that it could go awry.
So you're saying that they're working for Obama? I don't believe that at all. No, he was talking more about groups like the types that burnt Ferguson to the ground, that burnt Baltimore to the ground, the thugs on the campuses called Black Lives Matter. Those are his, that's his army. That's the army he's using right now to intimidate the middle class, in my opinion, Joe. I'm sending you a copy of the only book you need this year, which is Government Zero. Here's another story for you. A firefighter who flunked the physical many times, but had to be passed because she was black. Okay, she finally got her job as a firefighter. 10 days after the job, she went out on disability. Permanent disability. She hurt a leg jumping off a fire truck. I swear to God, this is affirmative action at work. Isn't America great under Al Sharpton?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, welcome back. These are very strange times. So I go on the Drudge Report, I see an article link from RT, and it says that Gangs of New York, Sicilian Mafia offers Big Apple protection from psychopathic ISIS. I said, that makes sense to me. And we have with us now is the gentleman who gave the interview, Giovanni Gambino. Mr. Gambino, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Who knows? If I knew how I was, I wouldn't be on the radio. But look, here's the thing, Mr. Gambino. This is a very serious topic, as you know. I don't have to tell you how serious this is. People are frightened. They don't think the government's going to protect them. How would you do differently than what the government is doing?
Michael, if you remember back then, you had Saddam Hussein, and he had a big painting of the Godfather, Don Vito, in his house. I think it was about $500,000 painting that he had. So there's a lot of people out there that, you know, look upon, you know, the movies like the Godfather, Goodfellas. There's a lot of fanatics out there. So I figure, let's send a good message out there that we are in the world citizens' side to fight this evil, this brutal evil.
So. No, I understand you're sending the message, but can you do the job is what we're asking. This is not, you know, these people are subhuman. They're not humans. They're lower than animals, putting people on fire in cages. And what I happen to fear the most is that this government is so warped, I'm sorry to have to say it, that they probably go after you and your friends faster than ISIS. That's what really worries me.
Oh, yes, you're correct. ISIS don't look at nobody in the face when they blow themselves up. It could be your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers. It could be anybody. That's why we need to stand up together, all together, to fight this monster. Fight it. And now, you know, I remember back in the days, you know, Italian neighborhood, Sicilian neighborhood, everybody was outside drinking coffee, kids were playing outside, you know, doing their thing. And when you see a stranger walking down the block, they wanted to know, who's this guy? Who's his mother? Who's his father? Who's his grandmother? Who's his grandfather? But those times, unfortunately, you know, they
of course, that's right. I understand very well. But now today, if you do it, they say it's profiling and racism. That's the only thing that could save us is using common sense. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are your friends getting involved because they see a void that needs to be filled from this government's not taking action? Isn't that the real reason, Giovanni?
Yes, absolutely. Now, the thing is, if there is somebody that's pointing fingers at somebody who's part of ISIS or is he got you know, brainwashed by them with the internet, because the internet is the number one cause of all this. I mean, these people are reaching people from everywhere through the internet, brainwashing them. So if they do find out, and if I find out, there is a guy that is thinking about a nice beating. I mean, a beating like never before, like he never got before. That helps. We don't wait.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Do you know that about 6 months ago, an Italian police captain in Boston, his Italian son was an ISIS sympathizer because of the internet? Did you read that story?
No, I'm glad I didn't read that story because that turns my stomach.
That's what I'm saying. Italian police captain, I forget the city, in Lynn, Massachusetts, I think. His own son got brainwashed by them. So, you know, it could happen to anyone in anyone's family because of the drug use and whatnot. Now, you just said something that, of course, we know we'd love to see. But here's what worries me, Giovanni, again, which is this. If you and your friends actually find someone who wants to do harm to the neighborhood, and you intervene and you take care of business in the old school method, you know and I know the government will crack down on you faster than on them. They'll say you actually committed a crime when they really didn't even do anything yet. They were just chatting on the internet. You're probably aware of that. I mean, you're putting yourself in pretty big danger with this.
1,000,000%. And that's the thing. When the Twin Towers went down, you had everybody from Bay Ridge, from Brooklyn, celebrating on the streets. And just the cops were protecting them.
Well, you're talking about the Arabs cheering the one when Trump said that they saw that, and now the media is saying they didn't? You saw it with your own eyes in Bay Ridge, didn't you?
I saw my own eyes in Bay Ridge. I lived in Bay Ridge. I saw it with my own eyes, yes. Yes, and the cops were just protecting them from...
And who was cheering? Who was cheering when the Trade Center went down? I mean, what people were they?
It's in Bay Ridge. You got the majority are Muslims, the majority. So some of them were...
I hope you're hitting the censor button. Yeah, we got to get the F words. Yeah, we got to take out. This is a family show. Giovanni, I want to ask you something. You said in the article that in Sicily, you come from Toretta. Is that true?
Palermo. Yeah, I was born in Palermo, Sicily. Yes.
Okay. You say that the Islamic State fears the Sicilian mafia, and it's one of the main reasons why they have not tried to set up any underground cells in Sicily, and that the Italian island has not suffered from any terrorist attacks. That's
Michael,
true, 100% true. Isn't that true?
Michael, that's a 1,000,000% true, because before these guys are going to blow up a coffee shop or something in Sicily, these guys have their mothers living there, their fathers living there, their sisters living there, and there is no government that could protect their mother, their father, or their sister. There's no government that could protect that from that. The Sicilians would take action right away, and they know that. That's why they don't do it.
Unbelievable. Well, I got a sweat going right now, because I know what you're saying is very serious. This is not for entertainment value. But speaking about entertainment value, it's said in this article in RT, you saw in the article, that you yourself are somewhat into Hollywood now. Is that true?
Yeah. I wrote a book, and it's just recently published. It's called The Vindicators. It tells you how the mafia was born back in the 1300s. How? The origin of the mafia, it tells you. The 1300s. And it's like Game of Thrones meets The Godfather. And it's based on a true story. Based on a true story.
Wow.
The Vindicators is based on the true story. And right now, me and Lance Lane, we're trying to write the script. And Lance Lane is a writer and director over there in L.A. And we're trying to write the script about how the mafia was back in the 1300s, how it was born. And that was born to protect the innocent people, protect the Sicilian from the oppressors that Sicily had for many, many, many years.
And the government was the oppressors. The invaders will set up a government, right?
1,000,000%. The French rulers who conquered Sicily, they were the oppressors, and they could care less about the citizen, the Sicilian citizen. They could care less about them. It was everything
unbelievable.
French. So
I once said that to a Sicilian friend, a guy I knew. He was a very tall guy in New York, and we were talking, and he was very tall. I mean, and you know, people think that people have to be short if they're from Sicily. So I said, you know, you got your tall genes from the Arabs who invaded Sicily. He got very mad at me. But the fact is that the island of Sicily had been invaded numerous times. The Normans, the Vikings, the Arabs had invaded and conquered and oppressed the people. So we in America today are facing a problem. We don't feel, Giovanni, that we have a government that really is on our side. Many of us fear the government itself. We certainly doubt the president. Let's be very clear. When you see even Russia is now doing what this guy faked doing for 2 years, what do you think about that? Do you think Obama's really fighting them?
You know, they got a big responsibility in their head, but they're lacking a lot of things. They're lacking a lot of things. And they need to really step up on the plate. They really need to step up on the plate because things are getting very, very serious. And
let me ask you something. I noticed in your answer that there's a kind of a hesitant answer in a way, and that's interesting. Are you able to tell us on this radio program today, is the government going to look the other way and let you do this? Can you say anything about that on the show?
Not at all. We need to unite together, and if we do unite together, we could make a difference in the world. We need to unite together. Everybody's playing their part. You know, the feds are playing their part, the CIAs are playing their parts, the government's playing their parts, but they gotta look at this as streetwise. Some guy just puts a bomb on him and blows himself up. They gotta intervene before the fact. Now, in order to intervene before the fact, they need evidence. And by the time they gather evidence, it's too late. Too late.
Yeah, of course, with due process. We know that. And so you guys are going to go and do it your old way.
Like I said, the old-timers, you know, back in the days when everybody was a monoculture in the neighborhoods and Sicilians drinking coffees outside and everybody knew everybody, it was easier. But, you know, it's not that we're not, you know, I'm not going to do anything if I hear some guy is up to no good.
Giovanni, will the government intervene to stop you guys if they hear about it? What if they're wiretapping you and they hear you're going to do it? Would they actually look the other way, or they'll intervene and arrest you before they arrest ISIS? That's what my real concern is here.
I'll break a few legs. I'll break an arm or two. You know, I mean, listen, you have to do certain things, you know, for the good of the world, to protect yourself, because I got kids. I got two daughters, I got a son, you know, and you got to look after things. No matter what, if you got to go down, you got to go down as a good man. That's what my father taught me. Yeah. My father would call me from prison. He would say, John, listen, send $100 to whatever. Send another $100 to the earthquake victim. Send another $100 to the flooding victim. I mean, he would call. You know, he had goodness in him, you know. So we have to, if we have to go down in this world, we have to go down in a good way, you know, knowing, you know, we're doing good, not bad.
Interesting. What is the name of your book again? Now I want to get a copy of it myself. What's the name of it?
The Vindicators. You could get it in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but if you want, I could give you a nice signed copy and send it to you if you want.
I would. I'll trade you Government Zero for The Vindicators if you will exchange addresses or whatever. Well, look, all I can say is this is the most interesting story I have come upon since these subhumans appeared on the planet. Unless we all join together and use every means necessary, I have terrible fears that they're going to continue to gain territory and do more horrible things, and we certainly don't want them on our soil. They've already done enough damage around the world.
We need to stand up together.
Good. Stay on the line, Mr. Gambino. We're going to send you the book, and I'm going to get a copy of your book. I want a signed copy. And anytime you're in San Francisco, make sure that I know about it so I can take it to the worst Italian food in America. And I'm just joking. There's some pretty good places. Thank you very much for being with us on the Savage Nation. Time is 45, 46 minutes after the hour. This is a very serious topic. There's probably no more serious topic that we're going to talk about on radio than how do we protect ourselves when the government doesn't seem to be doing the job. But, you know, I learned a few things from the interview that in a certain way was reassuring. I'll tell you about it when I come back. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. If you care to comment on Giovanni Gambino's appearance on the program, which I think set a new record in talk radio for excitement, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. It is a crazy, crazy world that we live in. And boy, oh boy, do we have a real problem on our hands. When many in America are now cheering an ex-KGB strongman, Putin, because of this smoker in the White House, the man who continues to deny the existence of ISIS, basically fobs them off, they're nothing. Nothing to him. Just go about your normal business. Don't worry about it. And we're worried. So now you got strange bedfellows all of a sudden. That's what the interview was about. And he said certain things that were quite interesting. He was basically talking about in his neighborhood, in their neighborhood. If they see anyone, they'll certainly take care of business. But what about in your neighborhood? What about in a lily-white suburban neighborhood when most of you, if you saw someone who looked suspicious, your instincts would tell you that that person doesn't belong there, but you know what'll happen. Oh, you're a racist, you're a thisist, or this, profiling. The cops know who they are. The cops could tell you faster than you could who might be the troublemaker, but they can't say anything. They've been intimidated by the community organizer. So this it's like a perfect storm now in America. The worst terrorists in history, there's no words for what they do to people. No, there's no words for it. Then you got the psychosis of the liberal who says that speaking nastily about somebody is worse than what they do. Then you got the press in the pocket of the government. Then you got very brave men and women in these agencies, FBI, CIA, DHS, they're in there. They see what's going on. They know who they are. And all I can do is have them under surveillance. When you and I both know they should be dragged out by their filthy scarves and thrown into a deep cell. And you know what? Throw their lawyers in there with them. Strange times, aren't they? That's what most of you are feeling. You know it's not going to happen. You know that. So we do go about our business. We buy our turkeys. We buy our stuffing. We make the recipes. I stand on street corners and talk to people from the Italian Athletica Club and ask him what his favorite sauce is and how do you make it. He actually gave me a good recipe. He says his mother made the best sauce, but she's may rest in peace. No, my mother never made the sauce because she wasn't Italian. Well, she made good fish, she made good chicken, good brisket. But everyone's mother is no longer here, the ones who cook like that. It's a different world. The fathers aren't here, the mothers aren't here, the common sense is not here. Oh, it remains here and there. But Obama knows that the common sense is gone. It's been drugged out of society. It's been beaten out of society. But it does exist. As you just heard in that interview, it still exists here and there. You know, our militias, they have common sense. Oh, yeah, you haven't read about them, have you? They're on the border right now with Mexico, making sure that no Syrians are coming over the border. They're out there, too, the militias. We all need to stand up. We're all going to fall down together. It's that simple. When you have a government that is not out of control, but it doesn't even know, you don't even know where it is. What'd you think of the interview? Rosario, we have 30 seconds. Fire away.
I love the interview. I thought that was especially what is needed during these times. It's just amazing that even the police have been hindered by doing their duty to protect us. This president, his duty is to protect us, and he's not doing that. He's doing everything.
That's what most Americans think, exactly the way you do, just spoke, Rosario. And you know I'm sending you a Thanksgiving gift, Government Zero. You are. In the next hour, we'll talk more about this. And then I'll tell you about the ethnic groups I grew up with and how everyone sort of got along until the organizer came along.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Earlier this week, as I headed to this region, there was a headline in one of our publications back home that asked, Obama's Asian distraction? Question mark. And the premise seemed to be that this region was somehow disconnected from pressing global events. I could not disagree more. This region is not a distraction from the world's central challenges, like terrorism. The Asia Pacific is absolutely critical to promoting security, prosperity, and human dignity around the world. That's why I've devoted so much of my foreign policy.
Double talk or just an empty, hollow, hollow force. Just empty. Nothing but a booming voice. Nothing there. Obama's approach to fighting ISIS, compare that with Russia. It took the U.S. 15 months to even begin targeting ISIS's oil refineries and tankers, while airstrikes by Russia destroyed more than 1,000 tankers in a period of just 5 days. But worse than that, the smoker, the angry smoker in the White House, had the Air Force leaflet the oil trucks, giving them a 45-minute warning before bombing the trucks. I had this on the show last week. Here's what the leaflet said of your commander-in-chief. You couldn't make this stuff up. It's impossible. Get out of your trucks now and run away from them. Warning, airstrikes are coming. Oil trucks will be destroyed. Get away from your oil trucks immediately. Do not risk your life. That's what the U.S. dropped on ISIS oil trucks before the bombs were dropped. Moscow didn't drop such leaflets. They just dropped the bombs and knocked out 1,000 oil trucks in a period of 5 days. The great commander-in-chief, he didn't do anything for 15 months. Then he dropped leaflets. And by the way, we only took out 116 tanker trucks. 116. So which side is he on? Well, it's a stupid question. U.S. pilots have also confirmed that they have been ordered not to drop 75% of their ordnance on ISIS targets because they couldn't get clearance from the Girl Scouts who run the military from video games deep in the bowels of the White House. 12 months, the Girl Scouts were busy attacking Republicans. 12 months, Obama's Girl Scouts were busy attacking any American who stood up to him instead of ISIS. They have targets in front of them, the men in our planes, and they're told three-quarters of the time you can't drop the bombs because the Girl Scouts were busy attacking American Republicans instead. That's the world we're in. So is it any wonder that the people are turning in the most unusual places for a sense of security? So we had Giovanni Gambino on in the last hour, if he just joined us. And I think he spoke very clearly in a way about it. He wasn't going to spell it out. I mean, the guy isn't a regular guy, you know. He wasn't going to spell out what they were going to do. But I think he made it clear that if anyone appears in their neighborhoods, they're not going to drop any bombs in the coffee shop. So the rest of us now wonder what we're supposed to do. Because we know what they look like. Oh, I know, you're not supposed to know. You're supposed to be deaf, dumb, and blind. I get it. Under Obama, you're supposed to be deaf, dumb, and blind to who the bomber looks like. You hear? Oh, you're not supposed to know. No, they come from all walks of life. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right. That's racial profiling, yeah. That's religious profiling, yeah, right. Turn your head, you morons, you. You let this moron talk to you. You walk around, you're dead. You're dead, man. You're walking dead listening to this moron. He certainly does racial profiling, doesn't he? Doesn't Al Sharpton specialize in racial profiling, attacking white cops? Don't tell me they don't use profiling. Their enemies are very clear to them, aren't they? Anyway, the point is that bombs went off in Paris. Not only did they machine gun these boys and girls who were simply at a dance, the reports came out that these monsters tortured the ones who were laying there dying, cut them up and mutilated them. Did you know that? I know it's a pretty horrible thing to tell you, but you know, this is not the Disneyland show. They mutilated the bodies as they lay dying. You have sympathy for them? You want me to have sympathy for people like that? I hope you don't have sympathy for them. Because my mother used to say, you really need to have your head examined. The problem is, who's going to do the examining? Usually the ones doing the examining need more of an examination than you do. But that we all know is a fact of life. That's because they go in that business because they're so screwed up. And I'm not knocking it. It's a tough field. Who would go into that field unless they're worried that they were crazy? They figure if they read 1,000 books on a subject of madness, they could cure themselves. Maybe some of them do. I don't know. But we're not here to talk about psychiatry nor to make fun of people in our country or in that field. I'm talking about that interview. What did you think about that interview on the radio show that you are listening to? You know it was original. You know nobody in radio did it or is going to do it. They don't know how to do it. They wouldn't even know where to begin. It's not about Democrat, Republican, or whatever, okay? It's a little different. I specialize in the unusual. But this is a serious man that was just on the show with a very serious problem that we have. But then you raise the issue of immorality. Is it moral to use organized crime, if in fact that's what it is? Will the government let them do it? I mean, will they let them do it? I mean, they're probably monitoring these guys. They've probably got better wiretaps on them than on the 1,000 Muslims that they're, the 1,000 suspects, let's put it that way. Sorry, C-A-I-R. I meant the suspects. We all know they're not Muslims. They're Irish nuns in wheelchairs over the age of 90. FBI says they have 1,000 investigations going on. Imagine the investigations. You can just imagine how far they're allowed to investigate. 1,000 active investigations makes you wonder, why don't they just drag them in? Pull them in? Pull them in and give them a nice spot to hold them in till the war is over. Build a Guantanamo here in America. And then when you get Marvin from the NYU screaming about due process, you know what? Give him a nice padded cell in the same place. Let's see how they treat Marvin inside ISIS's holding tank. Yeah, right. Okay, well, look, this is commonsensical in a world that's nonsensical. What can I tell you? Line 5, Savage Nation, what's on your mind? Go ahead. Yeah, Pat, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Me, Pat.
I know, Pat, talk. You're on the radio, please.
All right. Gambino getting the job done? Forget about it. He's going to get it done. You know why? He's not worried about his job. He'll keep his job. He's worried about his family and all the people that work for their family. They don't have to worry about political correctness. They'll take care of it. They'll put the fear of God in these guys or the fear of Allah. You know, they won't worry about this. Oh, why?
Yeah, but you know, Pat, there are plenty of Americans in this country who are as tough and as mean as they come, and they're not members of any gangs, and they'd love to rip them apart. You know that, Pat.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
they like to go in and rip their throats out while they're gagging. They like to tear them to pieces in front of their friends to put the fear of them in, but they're more afraid of the government because the government probably would attack them faster than the ISIS guys that they're watching, Pat. That is the problem.
Right, right. Well, you know, they got away with some things, but...
blood thing before. I don't know if that's still true. Thank you. I actually investigated that and turned out that it wasn't true. We wrapped him in the pig and this and that. And it turned out it didn't matter to them. There was a myth about that general who fought them. All right, this is a pretty serious topic. You want to talk about turkeys or the... and we have the biggest tides, by the way, in the Bay Area right now, the highest tides of the winter. I wonder if the mayor of San Francisco has ever been on the Bay. I know that the former mayor had never been on San Francisco Bay. It seems that all of these Bay Area experts and all the Bay Area natives have never been on a boat on San Francisco Bay. Isn't that interesting? I watch nature because I learn a lot about the world from nature. I see all sorts of species of birds feeding when the fish are close to the surface. And I often wonder. I see white birds, black birds, gray birds. I see big birds and small birds. You know they don't kill each other? Isn't it interesting that they all feast on the fish of the sea? And they all know how to get along with each other because they've been doing it for millennia. For millennia, the birds have been feeding on the bay, and all bodies of water for that matter. Why is it they don't rip each other apart while feeding? Because they have civility. They figured out how to work together, as we did in America until the 60s came along, which destroyed the social order of this country. Then the drugs came along in great amounts, legal and illegal, deranged all of the birds on the bay. And now you got one bird pecking each other bird. The birds are pecking each other, which is just the way demagogues like it. I won't even use the name of the demagogue. Phil on WMAL, go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Yes, ISIS is going to be sorry when they meet Mr. Gambino, because they're going to wish they got their heads chopped off before he deals with them, because he'll tear them apart.
Well, I don't know that he's going to do it himself or such. But Phil, here is the thing: don't you think that this government is so weird that they're liable to do more surveillance on these guys than they would on ISIS themselves?
They're more worried about whether he's going to pay his taxes next year or not. I mean, you know, let them deal with it. I don't have to worry about it. I mean, I'd rather see him take care of them because, you know, the cops can't do anything. Can't run.
Yes, even though the cops are tough enough to do it and would love to, they've been hamstrung by the community organizer and that lowlife, Al Sharpton.
Yeah, they can't do nothing to him. I mean...
That's right. If a cop sees a guy running with a suicide vest, he has to call home first to find out if he can fire a bullet. He has to call the girl who runs the... He has to call the girl running the police department and see if she'll give him permission to shoot first or be blown up later. Thanks for the call. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
I want to be as clear as I can on this. Prejudice and discrimination helps ISIL and undermines our national security. And so even as we destroy ISIL on the battlefield, and we will destroy them, we will take back land that they are currently in, we will cut off their financing, we will hunt down their leadership, we will dismantle their networks and their supply lines, and we will ultimately destroy them. Even as we are in the process of doing that, we want to make sure that we don't lose our own values and our own principles.
What are your values, Mr. Obama? What are your values? Are your values to step on the Constitution, to spit on the people? What are your values, Mr. Obama? To do everything you can to spite Christians? What are your values, Mr. Obama? To spite the voters' wishes? What are your values, Mr. Obama? Your values? Your values you're talking about? Are you saying our values? What are your values? To go around the Congress? That's your value. That has value to you. To go around the people's wishes, that's a value to you. That's great value to you. To flood America with illegal aliens, that's one of your values, isn't it, Mr. Obama? To bring in Syrians when common sense says do not do so, isn't that one of your values? To spite common sense? And you have the nerve to lecture the people and say that we're prejudiced and discriminating because we don't want to die? We want to live instead of dying? Yeah, those are the values that I talk about, the value of survival. Here's something that just came out from the Western Journalism Group. Surprising culprit behind shoot every black person threat. Really? Someone did that? Turns out he was a black Delta college student. Oh, yeah, he put up a fake threat. And once again, another one. Police make arrest an anonymous, quote, shoot every black person threat. His mugshot will shock many. He's facing 20 years in prison because of threats he allegedly made to shoot every black person on the Saginaw Valley State University campus in Michigan. And there's a twist that should make every Black Lives Matter protester out there pause. The student himself is black. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. Making a false report, false threat of terrorism. It's a felony with a 20-year sentence, if convicted. You know he won't be convicted. Instead, he'll be invited to the White House, probably to be given the Presidential Medal of Disinformation. All right, you want to move on? What do you think about that interview? You want to move on to the other topics? There was another one I touched on. Here, I got to do this story before the hour comes to an end, this half hour. I saw it in the Post. Firefighter who flung physical injured 10 days into job. So what? A firefighter who was allowed to graduate the fire academy despite failing physical tests has already gone out on medical leave just 10 days into the job. Probationary firefighter Sherilyn Doran-Holder injured herself Monday while conducting a routine check of equipment at Queens Engine 308 in South Richmond Hill. See, getting off the truck, Doreen Holder missed a step and landed on her left foot. And, whoa, now she's on disability now. Firefighters called the tripping incident embarrassing. She got hurt stepping off a truck. Now, who is she? Well, The New York Fire Department celebrated her as one of four new female bravest, bringing the number of women to 49, all-time high. But look at how they hired her. You know how they hired her? Well, let's see. She was, let's put it in. They said academy instructors let her pass the functional skills test, a rigorous obstacle course of job-related tasks, even though she had failed to complete it in the required 17 minutes and 50 seconds or under. So they let her pass it because she wasn't a white woman. In addition, when she failed to finish a 1.5-mile run in 12 minutes or less, even after they shortened the course for her, she was allowed to demonstrate aerobic capacity on a Stairmaster machine under watered-down requirements, enacted by FDNY Commissioner Daniel Nigro. So she was a priority hire. She had been passed over in 1999 and 2000 because she couldn't pass the test. So federal judge, the moron, Nicholas Garufas, we call him Nicholas Goofus, ordered that the department must get preference to the, give them preference as victims of past discrimination against minorities. It was Doran Holder's third attempt to pass the academy. Well, you get the rest of the story. So she did an injury, stepped on a truck, off the truck. Since she was injured on duty, she's eligible for disability pension that's going to pay her three quarters of her annual salary, tax-free, if deemed unfit to return. Now, if you think this is an isolated case, you're mistaken. The entire federal government is filled with people like this. The entire federal government is filled with doofuses who couldn't pass one test or another, but they did this, they did that, and they wind up running the country. Now you wonder why we can't fight ISIS? Now you wonder why the mail can't get delivered on time? Okay, I don't have to spell it out for you. It's Thanksgiving on Thursday. You know all of this already, right? This is basic to you. Well, do you know it all or you don't know it all? I don't think you know it all. I run into people all the time who don't know what's going on around them. Are you one of them or are you one of us? Are you one of the people who know about Islam's 1,400-year war against the world? Why don't you educate yourself and your liberal genius friends who went to NYU? Obama remains clueless on ISIS while America's demanding that war be declared. The thin, smoking man from nowhere doesn't even know what the American people want. He's so clueless, he only knows what Al Sharpton wants and what Loretta Lynch wants. God knows if he even knows what they want. How do you feel about this? I sincerely mean that. Do you feel that it's, oh, I don't know, immoral to work with crime members to save us when you have a government that is out of control, meaning a government of itself, by itself, and for itself? A government that will bring in Syrian refugees against all common sense, let alone to protect us from potential terrorists? As I said to you on Friday, even if one amongst 100 or one amongst 1,000 is toxic, why would you bring any of them in? I said months ago, build them a large, large area in a safe place in Syria. Have it built from the ground up. Give them the hammers and the nails and the saws. Bring in contractors, the greedy contractors, the ones who worked under Bush and Cheney. Let them build this new city for Syrians. And let them live there. Don't bring them here. And then after it settles down in Syria, let them go back and rebuild their own country instead of taking our country down. Now, what is wrong with that idea? How do you feel about this when you have Barack Hussein Obama, who thinks he's John Wayne, but he's closer to John Wayne Gacy? He's taking a real stand. He's saying it's absolutely vital for every country, every leader, to send a signal that the viciousness of a handful of killers does not stop the world from doing vital business. Well, that's easy to say when you're surrounded by 5,000 Secret Service agents. Not easy to say when you're going to a shopping mall this Thanksgiving and you don't know if that headscarf over there has a bomb underneath it, in plain English. That's what the American people think. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to think, Obama. So people are afraid that they're going to be bombed at a shopping mall. And he's telling you, oh, don't worry about a thing. Just go about your business. After all, what the heck? It's your life, not his. As you know, John Wayne was an American icon who embodied the American spirit. What did he show in the movies? Toughness, individuality, manhood, dignity. All things that have been beaten out of American culture by the academics, the vermin in the media, and Katzenberg in Hollywood. The same Hollywood that gave us a John Wayne and supported Americans through wars and the Great Depression that showed us how great we are as a people now defines courage and resolve as American men who should be embracing their inner woman and flaunting it for the world to see their weakness. And who's not acting that way? Well, our supposed enemies are not acting that way. Russia's not acting that way. China's not acting that way. They see the threats. In fact, the Chinese used flamethrowers over the weekend to root out some Islamist extremists in a cave. I know it didn't make it to Anderson Cooper or Jake Tapwater. They weren't there to photograph the flamethrowers and run to the press with it. It was a little tougher than waterboarding, giving them a little flame on their headscarves in the caves. But the Chinese know this. If you don't snuff the virus out early, the virus spreads. They know what to do. They know how to protect their people. They know how to judge their enemies and their friends. So here we stand at a point in history when a real John Wayne is needed. When the rest of the world is looking at us, looking for that hero that John Wayne portrayed in the movies. To stand up to the absolute evil that is right in front of everyone's eyes to see. They're looking at us. They're looking at America. To put the fire out and let these animals know that we're not to be messed with. But today's John Wayne, Barack Hussein Obama, will only look into that sunset and lament the carbon footprint that's being created. And so I ask you, look at the world we're living in under this loser in the White House. America is now rooting for an ex-KGB Russian president and an outlaw hacker group. And now probably going to root for the Sicilian Mafia as well. It makes you think you've fallen into a well. And it's all because of the zero in the White House. The absolute zero in the White House. But the question to you, the people, is how do you feel about this? We know that we have no government. We know that we have basically a mob running the country. What do you call a government that is not responsive to the people, but a gang? How do you define the difference between a government and a gang? Tell me the answer. Well, we know that a gang is only out for itself. Okay. Can you tell me that the sorority that runs this country is out for you? Okay. Number two, we know that a gang is extremely vicious. Can you tell me that the sorority is not vicious? They haven't come after political opponents in this country in the most vicious manner? So how do you define the difference between a rogue government and a gang? You tell me, because I'm looking for the answer. And because I couldn't find the answer, I spent the year writing Government Zero. And I tell you something, I'm not so sure that a gang wouldn't do a better job than Obama's been doing. Because he seems to be not only exhibiting the worst, let us say, characteristics of a mere gang, but he's also not even protecting the people. He isn't even offering us protection. That's the point I'm trying to make. Taxes out of control. Borders broken, language stepped on, culture broken, Christianity snapped off the crosses. How much worse can it get? That's what the people are saying. Since we have a clueless, thin, smoking, hostile human being in the White House surrounded by a Girl Scout sorority, we the Americans will turn to anybody for protection. Especially when we know we have an idiot running Homeland Security, a former corporate lawyer, Jed Johnson. Flooding America with illegals from Syria, doesn't matter where, Jed Johnson. The only one I trust in the entire intelligence apparatus as an American is the head of the FBI, who says that there are 1,000 investigations going on right now against potential Muslim terrorists. I'd like to see the FBI share that file with this gentleman, Mr. Gambino. I'd like to see them share the intel on these 1,000 individuals they're tracking. I kind of doubt they'll do it. Because you know the 1,000 investigations will be reduced to zero in about 30 days. There'll be no investigations. This is a subject that I'm quite interested in. I want to remind you that way back when, in the year 2000, I wrote a book called The Savage Nation. And on pages 145 and 146, I wrote this. To fight terrorism, I'd suggest the FBI go to the worst gangs in America and find the baddest of them, and then bring them into the inner sanctum, into the president's cabinet. I'd say, look, boys, here's our situation. We're at war with these terrorists. Tell us how you would stop it. And I wrote, I guarantee you they'd solve it much faster than those frat boys in Washington. My suggestion isn't a new idea. It's been done before, during World War II. The government of elitists knew there was a problem on the waterfronts of America. They knew the Germans had Gestapo spies all over the East and the West Coast. They also knew who controlled the waterfront. They did. Back then, they went to Lucky Luciano and cut a deal with the mafia. The mafia made sure the Nazis didn't function on the waterfront anymore, period. End of story. If a German spy was found, he'd get a meat hook in his back and end up swimming with the fishes. Call it longshore justice. That was the end of 99% of the Nazis on the waterfront in New York. It's been done before. It must be done again or we're all cooked. Today our leaders hire smart morons from Harvard and Yale to analyze the situation. I say it's time to stop with the frat girls and the sorority girls. There, I gave you the brass tacks. That was what I wrote many years ago. I think I touch on it again in Government Zero. I'm not 100% sure. But we know this. When we have a zero government, the people themselves need to get themselves together to protect themselves from the clueless dunce in the White House. It's that simple. And I found an article on this, how the mob helped the U.S. military in World War II, in the Daily Beast, written a while ago. And they give a little more detail on the collaboration between gangsters and naval intelligence during World War II, which the government, by the way, denied for 40 years. And it began after the cruise ship Normandy caught fire and capsized at Pier 88 in Manhattan on the heels of Pearl Harbor. You see, the luxury liner was being retrofitted for U.S. troop deployment when it was bombed in early February 1942, right in New York City. It's a true story. Now, the U.S. Navy suspected Nazi sabotage. Naval officers were rebuffed by the longshoremen on the mob-controlled New York waterfront, men averse to snitching for anybody. And so, for help, the Navy turned to mobster Meyer Lansky, the Jewish gangster. Our government approached Lansky in part because it knew that he had been waging a campaign of intimidation against domestic Nazi sympathizers, mostly members of the German-American Bund. That's a whole separate story. And so for Operation Underworld, Lansky recruited his childhood friend Benjamin Bugsy Siegel and Murder Incorporated's Louis Lepke Buchalter. These Jewish killers used guns, knives, and bats to break up Nazi rallies and send a message to Nazi sympathizers. As Maya Riley acknowledged in his notes, we weren't yeshiva boys. There's a famous movie picture of this, a Nazi rally in Madison Square Garden, which is broken into by these guys. They had bats, brass knuckles. They beat the Nazis up and drove the sissies off the stage. Suddenly, the Heil Hitlers were running scared, and the adage, the brown shorts, had a real meaning right then. Then later on, when Nazi saboteurs slithered into the U.S. in the summer of 42 to blow up railways, chemical plants, and Jewish-owned department stores. Did you know any of this? All of you morons from Harvard? Mob-controlled union members dropped a dime on the operatives that had checked into Manhattan hotels. Eric writes, we'll never know what the boys did to the Nazi sympathizers. They didn't report that to the FBI. Now, what's interesting about this story is that was a trade-off made on this. You see, the imprisoned Charles Lucky Luciano was, I believe, exiled into Sicily and he couldn't come home. So they made a deal that if Luciano gave his orders to his friends, I think he was in prison or in Sicily, I don't know where he was, and he got rid of the Nazis, they'll let him come back to America. So Luciano provided the Navy with contacts in Sicily to, in addition to that, to assist Allied invasion planners. And in return, Lucky Luciano's 30 to 50 year prison sentence was commuted. That's when we had a government who knew what to do in a time of war. Right now we have a moron who doesn't even know we're in a time of war. The moron thinks it's only time to go to war with the American people who want their borders, language, and culture defended. So there is a precedent for this if it is true. And I'll tell you something else. If Putin ran for the presidency, he'd give Trump a good run for the money in this country. Of course he isn't going to run. Why is it that America wants a strong man to take over like Trump? Because we have nothing but the opposite everywhere else. It's that simple. We need strength to fight strength. We need toughness to fight toughness. And right now, what do I have to say? Do you think we have that? Is Hillary really the one to save us from ISIS when she says last week? She said it last week. She said Islam has nothing to do with terrorism. Well, you know, it defies logic itself when the organization conducting these most horrible crimes against humanity defines themselves as the Islamic State. Is it called ISIS or BISIS or JISIS or HISIS? Is it the Jewish state? Is it the Buddhist state? Is it the Hindu state? Is it the agnostic state? Is it the Zoroastrian state? Is it the Hindu state? It's not ISIS. It's not BISIS. No, my friends, everyone knows it's the Islamic State, except the thin smoking man in the smoking jacket. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2060.
We have to be strong. You know, they don't use waterboarding over there. They use chopping off people's heads. They use drowning people. I don't know if you've seen with the cages where they put people in cages and they drown them in the ocean and then they lift out the cage. And we're talking about waterboarding. See?
Yeah, I agree with him. You know, it reached a point where I thought that either Trump's people were reading my book or listening to the show and giving them the ideas. But now I'm starting to think maybe he and I are channeling each other's brain, because a day before he talked about waterboarding, I was thinking I should go on the air and say, what do you think about bringing back waterboarding? And you know what this tells me? It tells me that Donald Trump is actually in touch with the people, the average person out there, who knows what has to be done to defend ourselves. So that's all I want to say. Now, the day wouldn't be complete unless we had a soundbite from that other person with large ears, Prince Charles, who blames climate change for the conflict in Syria. Now, as you well know, he's been out of touch with reality from the day he came out of his mother. And I'm starting to wonder, let's listen to the sounds first, 21 and 22, of the man with big ears from England, Prince Charles.
Some of us were saying 20-something years ago that if we didn't tackle these issues, you would see ever greater conflict over scarce resources and ever greater difficulties over drought and the accumulating effects of climate change, which means that people have to move. And in fact, there's very good evidence indeed that one of the major reasons for this horror in Syria, was a drought that lasted for about 5 or 6 years, which meant that huge numbers of people in the end had to leave the land, and increasingly they came into the cities, and this combined to create a very difficult situation.
Are you suggesting that there is a link between climate change and conflict?
Absolutely.
And terrorism?
Yes.
And
yes. Well, I was there the last few years. The Pentagon have actually started to pay attention to this, because huge impact on what is happening.
Yeah.
We never deal with the underlying root cause.
Root cause.
Which regrettably is what we're doing to our natural environment.
A man never worked a day in his life. You know, my father was an immigrant. He hated royalists. He hated the royals anywhere. Hated the royals in Russia. And ever since I was a little boy, he used to mock Prince Charles. He would say, look at this idiot. So inbred, look at his ears. You could see what happened to him. You know, now that I think about it, I can't mention this issue, but there is another very prominent world leader with very large ears who doesn't come from royalty. And I wonder if it's about... I can't go down this road. I'm sorry. I could be seen as an earist if I do this, or suffering earophobia. And the last thing I want to be known as in my radio career is as a man who suffered earophobia. But I can't really say I've known anyone with extremely large ears who wasn't as dumb as they come. Totally unconnected to reality. Now, that doesn't mean people with small ears are smart necessarily, or that all people with large or extraordinarily large ears are stupid. I'm just saying that for Prince Charles to blame climate change for the conflict in Syria, and that he has extremely large ears, and for the smoking man in the White House to not even admit that Islam is involved in terrorism, I don't know. Something to do with ears, or some other organ?